This is Keith Pisani of KeithPisaniMinistries.com. When was the last time something bad happened in your life where your disappointments became God's appointments, the weeds became flowers, the negatives became positives, and man's rejections were used by God to redirect your life? From lion's den to leader, from tending sheep to transforming a nation, from murderer to missionary, and from the cross to the crown, it could have been Daniel, David, Paul, or Jesus who said these words. It wasn't. It was an Old Testament man who acquired that New Testament perspective of working out all things together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. It was a man who had gone from the pit to the palace. It was a man who was addressing the very people who sold him into slavery. It was that man, Joseph, who said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, "You meant or wove evil unto me, but God meant or rewove it for good to save much people alive." Yeah, I don't know where I got this story, but here it is. In World War II, he was a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy. His name was Butch. As a fighter pilot assigned to an aircraft carrier, the Lexington, in the South Pacific, one day his entire squadron was sent on a mission. After he was airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgotten to top off his fuel tank. He would not have enough fuel to complete his mission and get back to his ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier. Reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As Butch was returning to the mothership, he saw something that turned his blood cold. A squadron of Japanese bombers were speeding their way toward the American fleet. The American fighters were gone on a sortie, and the fleet was all but defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back in time to save the fleet, nor could he warn the fleet of the approaching danger. There was only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. Laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove into the formation of Japanese planes. Wing-mounted 50 calibers blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another. Butch weaved in and out of the now broken formation and fired at as many planes as possible until finally all his ammunition was spent. Undaunted, he continued the assault. He dove at the planes, trying to at least clip off a wing or tail in hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible and rendering them unfit to fly. He was desperate to do anything he could to keep them from reaching the American ships. Finally, the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Deeply relieved, Butch and his tattered fighter limped back to the carrier. Upon arrival, he reported in and related the events surrounding his return. The film from the camera mounted on his plane told the tale. It showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect his fleet. He had destroyed five enemy bombers. And that was on February 20, 1942. And for that action, he became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, he was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. Some years earlier, there was a man in Chicago named Easy Eddie. At that time, Al Capone virtually owned the city. Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic. His exploits were anything but praiseworthy. He was, however, notorious for enmeshing the city of Chicago in everything from bootleg booze and prostitution to murder. Easy Eddie was Capone's lawyer, and for a good reason. He was very good. In fact, his skill at legal maneuvering kept Big Al out of jail for a long time. To show his appreciation, Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all the conveniences of the day. The estate was so large that it filled an entire Chicago city block. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob and gave little consideration to the atrocity that went on around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however. He had a son that he loved dearly. Eddie saw to it that his young son had the best of everything, clothes, cars, a good education. Nothing was withheld. Price was no object. And despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach him right from wrong. Yes, Eddie tried to teach his son to rise above his own sordid life. He wanted him to be a better man than he was. Yet with all his wealth and influence, there were two things that Eddie couldn't give his son. Two things that Eddie sacrificed to the Capone mob that he could not pass on to his beloved son. A good name and a good example. One day, Easy Eddie reached a difficult decision. Offering his son a good name was far more important than all the riches he could lavish on him. He had to rectify all the wrong that he had done. He would go to the authorities and tell the truth about Al Capone. He would try to clean up his tarnished name and offer his son some semblance of integrity. To do this, he must testify against the mob, and he knew that the cost would be great. But more than anything, he wanted to be an example to his son. He wanted to do his best to make restoration and hopefully have a good name to leave his son. So he testified. And within the year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire in a lonely Chicago street. But he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price he would ever pay. Perhaps you're asking yourself at this point, what do these two stories have to do with one another? Well, Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. And today in Chicago, Illinois, O'Hare Airport is named in tribute to the courage of that great man in World War II who saved the carrier Lexington. So the next time you're in O'Hare Airport, visit his memorial with his statue and Medal of Honor. It's located between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2. From Daniel to David to Paul to Jesus to Joseph to Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. These words in John chapter 9, verse 4 from Jesus ring true. These things happened, even evil things, even a sordid past. These things happened that the works of God should be manifest or demonstrated publicly in the person who is tested or tried. Hey, God doesn't trust trials to everyone. If God has trusted trials to you, recognize this: no affliction or trials should permanently trouble us if we know up front the reasons why God sent those trials and introduced them into our life. And even if we don't know, even if we don't understand the circumstances of our life, as Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 1 and following, when trials happen, we can rejoice in the Lord because trials are sent that we might know Christ better, experience the power of his resurrection, identify with his sufferings, and be made conformable unto the character qualities of his death. Thank God for trials, and thank God for Jesus, who gives us the empowerment and enablement to gain victory when defeat seems reasonable, to give victory in times of trials.